I've put the glasses on, I can't see a single thing. Prayer. References to prayer and praying are mentioned 600 times in the Bible. The first time prayer is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 4, verse 26, and we find, "And as for Seth," no, that's Seth, but Adam's son, "to him also a son was born, and he named him Enoch. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." But also there's approximately 650 prayers recorded in the Bible. One which Jenny read out before, we find in Nehemiah, which we're going to look at briefly in a moment. But also we have nearly 450 answers to prayer in the Bible as well, as you read through. Just going to do it as it says. Beautiful, we've done it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, when he preached in England at the new church he was in 1870, actually to thousands of people, and can I say without a microphone, it was incredible, he actually he called prayer the engine room of the church. We actually found there was thousands up in the top part, but actually underneath there was 100 people praying as he preached up top to the thousands of people. The engine room of the church is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon talked about, prayer. And the importance of prayer is shown by Jesus himself. Not only did he teach the disciples a pattern for prayer when they asked him, well, how do we pray? You can find it in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11. But the Bible records that Jesus praying 25 different times during his earthly ministry. One of the more deep, thoughtful prayers of Jesus we find in the Garden of Gethsemane, which you'll find in Mark 14, verse 26. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." As we think about prayer, importantly, the psalmist reminds us, you may remember Keith read from Psalm 66, and we find in those last few verses, "I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." Got to keep that one in mind. God does hear your prayer. You're not just speaking words into the air. God hears your prayers and wants to hear them as well. And as we move into a new church year with the various groups starting up again, various ministries recommencing, Bling next week, what's the thing? Something sort of funny sort of happened. Is that okay? I'll think of one and I'll send it with Lynn. Okay. We packed 65 boxes. Moving. No, that's not funny at all, actually. Lynn doesn't think it's very funny at all that she packed 65 boxes. Not funny at all. Mustard Tree is continuing. A vital ministry. A new pastoral team in place. Aspects of the revitalization to be viewed and possibly implemented. And it's very timely we cover all this in prayer, because prayer is the vital beginning. So that's what I've titled the message this morning, Prayer, the Vital Beginning. And that's being part of a series of the priority of prayer. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at a variety of aspects of prayer, but also look at some good resources. What you'll find at the back, hidden underneath those tablecloths, are some books on prayer. And the one on my left, the one on whatever side it is, this one over here, that one over there, those ones over there you've got to pay for, all right? Don't take them. See David or Margaret Price. I'll be always in lots of trouble. We're watching you, okay? Well, David's watching you because he's paid for them. The ones on the left are freebies. But if you can put your name down, that'd be great. I've got a great one which I've used in the past, one called Prayer by Richard Foster. Who's actually written, has anyone read Richard Foster's at all? Would anyone like to read it? Put up your hand, anyone? Gordon, here it goes, mate. Freebies in church. It's my name's in it, all right? Get back to me afterwards. But please take the opportunity of grab the books on this side, write your name down, but pay for the books on that side. There's some great books on prayer. Corrie Ten Boom wrote, "When a Christian shuns fellowship with other Christians, the devil smiles. When they stop studying the Bible, the devil laughs. When they stop praying, the devil shouts for joy." With that said, let me lead us in prayer. Eh? Father, as we come this morning to speak about prayer, as you think about prayer, as you challenge us about prayer, as you encourage us about prayer, Father, may we just, in one sense, something new comes up this morning which reminds us about who you are as the Lord God and how much you love us and how much you want us to pray. So we ask that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Looking at prayer, the vital beginning, I want to look briefly at two aspects of prayer. Firstly, through prayer, men and women seek God. And secondly, through prayer, God's peace is experienced. So firstly, prayer. Through prayer, men and women seek God. This is firstly, I want to look at one of the 650 prayers, and that's the one from Nehemiah. I actually spoke on Nehemiah back in October when I told the message, Time to Rebuild. And we find, as Jenny read before, let me read it out. Nehemiah 1, 1b3, "It came to pass in the month of Shislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The walls of Jerusalem is also broken, and its gates have been burnt with fire.'" What can you remember about the story of Nehemiah? Give me some idea. What's going on here? What's Nehemiah about? Anybody out there? Just checking. Rebuilding the walls? What's some other things about Nehemiah? Cares about his homeland. Yep. He's about 1,000 kilometres away, okay? He's been... What happened to them? Why is he 1,000 kilometres away? They've been exiled, okay? Judah has been exiled. He quite possibly has been born there. He's never been to Jerusalem, quite possibly. What's some other things that we know about it? He's a cupbearer. Very important job. His job was to actually drink the wine, make sure it was okay, and if the wine was poisoned, the king wouldn't get poisoned. He'd be dead instead. So the cupbearer of the king. It was a great job, sort of. Got to chase some great wine, though. One more thing. What else do we know about Nehemiah?
He must have prayed a lot.
Yeah, he did. He did pray a lot, and we'll be thinking about that right now exactly. Oh, I meant to show you that one. That's what I showed you back then. Sorry, I missed one of those ones there. But as he got that information, what was Nehemiah's response? Did he jump up and take action, seek to fix the problem? Well, we read in Nehemiah 1 verse 4. "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." What was his first response? Went to God in prayer. Fasted and prayed. Not only did we find Nehemiah pray, but because of the reference to the term called Shivalev and Nisan, which are months, that's actually, he prayed for 4 months. But note, there is no indication that Nehemiah took 4 months off of work. It wasn't like a, what's it called, a sabbatical. He didn't get one of those for 4 months. He was still the cupbearer to the king, but he was praying for 4 months. And even though he was very sad, one of the things that a cupbearer had to be was always joyful in front of the king. So even in his torment, and sometimes there'd be times when we're praying, we can't take 4 months off, but we can pray at different times. And that's an important thing to remember. This is what Nehemiah has done for 4 months, but he's still the cupbearer of the king. Similar to me, Nehemiah, I recall in 2004, if I can get that to work up, Franklin Graham came out and to Melbourne to hold a crusade at the Dockland Stadium, which was called back in those days. It's had about Etihad and all different things at the moment. But more importantly, I remember and was involved in the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association preparation. They came out and prepared churches in Australia 1 year out from that event. I'm not quite certain if you were involved or if you were involved back in time. They also ran what was called the Christian Life and Witness course. And I witnessed people come to faith going through that course, preparing to go there. Billy Graham, when he was asked about prayer and about that especially, he said, in preparation for an evangelistic event, he said, there's three things. What do you think the three things this could have been? Prayer, prayer, and prayer. That were the three things that Billy Graham said, the most important things for that event are prayer, prayer, and prayer. In verses 5 to 11 of Nehemiah 1, we find substance of Nehemiah's prayer. It's a prayer acknowledging, first he acknowledges the awesomeness of God, then about the people being scattered by God, and Nehemiah acknowledging the sinfulness, and he repents for the children. But also he asks for God for mercy. And then he says, please God, if you'd like to use me, I am available. He uses four aspects. And look at Nehemiah's prayer. I want to share an acrostic which reflects Nehemiah's prayer and can assist us and the church in prayers. It also incorporates the Lord's Prayer. If you've been reading your new sheet, if you've never read your new sheet or you've been avoiding the front page, second page, you missed what you should have been looked at for this week. Okay, here's the acrostic. Here's the acrostic. P-R-A-Y. That actually stands for prayer. Pray, pray. What do you think that P could stand for as you think about pray? Praise could well be, if I can get it to do it. Here it is. Praise. We think about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Begins with praise. Second one, what do you think it could be? Repent. Someone's been reading their news sheet. Repent. Oh, hang on, I'm going to put it up there. Repent, and also I've put in there, receive forgiveness as well. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A is for ask. Give us this day our daily bread and lead us not into temptation. Why?
Why not?
Obviously, you didn't read the news sheet. What could the why be for?
Yield.
Someone read the news sheet. Yield. For it's not our kingdom, for thy kingdom and the power and the glory. Will you allow me to be involved with that one there? Can I encourage you? You may want to use that. You'll find it in the news sheet. Did Nehemiah just pray at this one time? No. If you read through Nehemiah, in the 12, you'll find in the 12 chapters, Nehemiah actually prays 12 different times on different occasions for different things. This is just one of his prayers that he goes through. And similar to Nehemiah, Billy Graham writes, the Christian life is not a constant high. I have my moments of deep discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh God, forgive me or help me. Can I go back one, Seth? Can you take me back one? P stands for?
Praise.
R stands for?
Praise.
And receive. A stands for?
Ask.
Y stands for?
Yield.
And why not? Okay. I'll speak to you afterwards. Secondly, I just want to think about prayer. Through prayer, God's peace is experienced. I want us to look at one of the 600 times that prayer is mentioned in Scripture. And this is one of those times, one being when Paul encourages to pray. But not only do I want us to look at it, I want us to memorize it as well. Back to school. Let's look at it. Read it before. I know you may have learned a different version. I've just put up, I think it's the NIV, I've put it up. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. Oh, did I miss a word there somewhere? Yeah, understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's right, isn't it? I've got it right. Can we say it together? I'm going to go this side this time. Just together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. Kids' holiday program time. Here we go. This is how we used to do it in kids' holiday program. Leave a line out. How are you going to go this time? Let's go together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in prayer. But in, hang on a second. I apologize. By prayer and petition, thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I really tried so hard. Why do we memorize Scripture for? Is it really helpful at all? I'll tell you, yes, it is. It's good to remember some of those things. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. Why do I remember that one? It's not by my works, it's by God's grace. Prayer. Don't be anxious, but when you are, pray. I had one of my elders at my previous church at Ferntree Gully. He unfortunately got a very rare a disease in his blood. He came from a Brethren church, and he memorised a lot of Scripture. He came to a point where he couldn't read his Bible anymore, but he said, God's words are hidden in my heart. And he could tell me, as I sat with him, even in the last days before he died, he was still telling me Scripture, which he memorized and was so important to him. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why do we memorize it? It helps us. It helps us to remember our faith. But also in times of trial, we can go, hang on a second, I remember now what you've said to me. Can I encourage you? You'll find that in the news sheet as well. Please take it home. Another one I love, which I've often looked at, and it comes from, where have I got it? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I think the NIV has make your pathways straight. Not quite certain he makes them always straight, but he's always there with you, directs your paths especially. But I want you to look. This verse is not saying that we will never experience anxiety. It's not saying that. I think I've got it there. Let me go back. Can you go back? Yeah, thanks, Seth. It's not saying you won't experience anxiety, but it says when you do experience anxiety, there's the God that you can talk to. He wants to hear from you. And it's interesting, when Paul actually writes Philippians, most biblical scholars would say that he's actually in prison at this period of time. He's in a place where he's experiencing anxiety amongst anybody else, but then he can write this from his experience as he, at this period of time. So he's actually writing from his own personal experience. Can you suggest to me some things that sometimes can raise anxiety? What's some things that you may have, or you know other people, have had anxiety can raise up in their life? What's some things? Social situation, yes, certainly.
Stress,
yep.
Family.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. Sister. Financial, yeah. What other things raises anxiety?
Traumatic experiences,
yep. There's one over here.
Health,
yes. Yep.
Loneliness,
yep. Anxiety, yep. This verse is not saying a Christian will never experience anxiety. It's saying when you do experience anxiety, this is what you are to do about it especially. Someone has written about this. And I know for me, I've experienced some anxiety recently. We're about to move house at the end of this week. And you know, sometimes you think about, it's all about the what ifs. Could that happen? Maybe that's going to happen. Why? Jesus tells us one important thing about things about just tomorrow. He talks about today has enough problems of itself. Don't worry about just tomorrow. I've often found as I've been anxious about things about tomorrow, they never happened. So we need to be mindful that sometimes our anxieties can take us over especially. What do you think Paul is talking about when he talks about a petition? What do you think that is that he's talking about there? What's a petition? What's he talking about, do you think?
A request.
A request, yeah, putting up a request. And maybe a few may do it as well. So it's putting up, really, it's a prayer which is really asking, seeking and a certain for a certain thing in a certain way. It's got a specific point to that prayer especially. Paul also adds that we are to be thankful in our prayers. Are you always thankful when you pray? Great. I'm not quite saying I'm always thankful when I pray. But you know what I'm thankful for? I know there's a God who listens to me and he hears me and he cares for me. And he answers, and it's his will. That's a great thing about that knowledge, that you're not doing journey of faith by yourself. No matter who you are or where you are, he's always there for you the whole time. Then he speaks about the peace which transcends all understanding. Someone has written, the peace of God can be described as a tranquil state of appreciation and faith when we submit to and trust the commandments of God and Christ. It requires a mixture of humility and courage to experience God's peace, seeking beyond the mere abilities of our own understanding. There's one important thing we've always got to keep in mind when we think about this peace of God. What's two things that when a believer accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, what's two gifts which you are given? Peace, yeah. The Holy Spirit I heard over here. And what's the other one?
Joy.
Eternal life, salvation. Two things, two gifts. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. How on earth can God's peace, you have the Holy Spirit, you have God living inside of you. As you pray, the Holy Spirit can make that peace inside of you. You can feel it and experience it from the inside because the Holy Spirit is there. Very important thing to keep in mind. And he speaks about The peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Our heart speaks about our emotions and our feelings. Our mind speaks about our planning and organisation. As I said, my mind has been going about 1,000 miles and all the last couple of weeks, trying to work out the logistics of this moving thing. But I'm gradually handing it over just to God. Perhaps not quick enough that I should be doing it just for Him. Want to share one thing especially there. This prayer, if you look at the very last line, it says, your mind's in Christ Jesus. This prayer is for believers. That's what this prayer is. It's given to you as a believer and says, when you're anxious, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, because you are my child, God says. Do this. This prayer is for believers to pray. As John puts it in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God. If you're a child of God, this prayer is for you to be used. It's not just a general prayer for anybody. This is for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the promise, to pray that one especially there. This thing's going to just put me to death, I think, at the moment. So prayer, the vital beginning. Billy Graham wrote the following about prayer. True prayer is a way of life, not just for use in cases of emergency. Make it a habit. When the need arises, you will be in practice. So first we looked at, First, we looked at the prayer is the vital beginning. We thought about men and women seek God, and we thought about those. So what does the P stand for again? Praise. Praise. What's the R stand for? And receive. The A stands for? The Y stands for? Yield. Okay, great. Then we thought about that verse in the... We thought about that verse. See if you do any better just than I go. Here we go. Do not be anxious about anything, but think by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I did it. Can I encourage you? Perhaps use this as one. I'm not saying to you to memorise the whole of the Bible, all right? There were some scholars who, I think, memorised the whole of the Psalms, even Psalm 119, which is the longest one. But can I encourage you, there's some key ones which is not bad to have memorised. For by grace you have been saved. When you're anxious to pray, some of those great ones. Trust in the Lord with all your life. Can I encourage you to perhaps use some of those as well? Can I pray for us? And then we're going to move into the Lord's Supper especially. Heavenly Father, as we thought about prayer this morning, and as we think about you want us to pray, you want to be part of our journey with us. You want us to tell the issues which are going on in our life. In fact, you're perhaps the main person we can be as honest with, because you know about us anyhow. Father, please help us today as we think about prayer. Father, as we take the privilege of prayer, if you look forward into your church here at Little Old Baptist, as we look forward to the new church year, that we may put it into prayer. Now, Father, we do pray this morning as we move into the Lord's Supper now. We think about the Lord's Supper. Now, Father, again, you'll just remind us of your grace and your love to us. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name, amen.